Representative Sean Casten from the 6th District joins us. Welcome to the show, Congressman. How are you today?
Oh, doing okay. Thanks for having me on.
I know that's all we can get. That's all we can respond with these days, right? We're just doing okay.
Trying
to hang in there. You said this shutdown might hurt more than other shutdowns. Can you explain?
Well, you know, I got sworn in the middle of the longest shutdown in history, which was the last time Donald Trump was in the White House and the Republicans controlled both chambers. And I don't mean to make this partisan, but it is part of a pattern. And we ended that last shutdown when we changed control of the House, got everything reopened. That's obviously a long way off right now. One of the first things we did after the last one was pass a law that said that any federal employee who is not paid during the shutdown will have all their back pay restored. We now have the president saying he's not going to honor that law, which is illegal. We have the head of the OMB, whose job is only to determine which employees are essential and non-essential, claiming that he has the authority to fire people, which he doesn't have. And there's just an overwhelming lack of trust between the legislative branch and the executive branch. If they agree on changes in law, do we trust that they will honor that law? And I hate that we have to even question that, but we'd be naive not to at this point.
And it seems as if the law is not being applied to some of these situations. They tend to do as they choose, and then everything has to go to court. Meanwhile, we have air traffic controllers calling in sick. FAA just triggered, a warning that they're calling in sick, so that slows down air travel. Are the Democrats, willing to go as long as they can? Or, go ahead. Just fill us in on what you think is going to happen.
Well, look, we're going to frame this as what are the conditions on which the Democrats would agree to move forward on this because of the political moment we're in. But I wish we wouldn't frame it that way. We have this issue where everybody knows that the government's on a September 30th fiscal year. Everybody knows that you have to do all the appropriations before that point. And the Republican leadership in the House and Senate has not passed a single one of the 12 appropriation bills we need to fund the government. We knew that authorizations for telehealth were expiring on September 30th. Never brought that to the floor. We knew that authorization for the flood insurance program was coming forward. Never brought that to the floor. What they prioritized was a bill that gave massive tax cuts to billionaires and took 14 million people's Americans' health insurance away. Regardless of what party you are, it's just irresponsible. It makes Congress look bad, and we should be sitting there saying, what are we going to do to make sure that we stop the bleeding? What are we going to make sure so that if a hurricane comes through, the flood insurance program exists, emergency workers are available and motivated and want to show up for work so that people can travel? And we made it very clear that that was going to be our condition to concede, that we had to get these protections in there. The Republicans knew that they had to get this on a bipartisan basis through the Senate, and instead sort of decided to play chicken and shut the government down. And so the only thing I know for certain is if a bully shows up and steals your lunch money, if you don't fight back, he's going to take more tomorrow.
Congressman, what can you tell us about these staffing triggers that the FAA just announced? I mean, here at O'Hare and elsewhere, it looks like it's pretty much an overnight thing, 7 p.m. to 4 a.m., that they might reduce the number of flights. But this is going to impact a lot of people. Is this the sort of thing that's going to grow? Or what have you seen when it comes to the FAA and ground traffic control?
So, I can't speak to specifically what the FAA and Secretary Duffy are doing right now. As a general matter, when you go into a shutdown, our air traffic controllers, our TSA employees, are almost all deemed essential employees, which means that they are expected to show up at work, but they will not be paid. And then we repay them on the back end. That lasts for a little while, but, for a lot of these folks, if you don't have enough cash in your bank account to ride that through, pretty soon you have to make some horrible choices. And so the longer these shutdowns go on, the more you start to see people saying, I've got to do something else. I got to look for other ways to pay the rent. I don't know whether that's happening right now, but as a general rule, when you get into these shutdowns, eventually you start to see things like that that are breaking. The fact that you, well, I was just going to say, the fact that you've got the president saying that he potentially will not provide that back pay is doesn't make that better, right? It's going to make those federal workers more likely to start looking for other forms of employment.
Absolutely. We've got 22 million people that will be affected by the ACA tax credits. If those credits are not extended, will more people drop out or be financially pushed out of Obamacare? And then if there are fewer people participating in the insurance pool, does that mean all of our insurance premiums go up?
So there's going to be huge pressure on the healthcare system because of the what was done in the big ugly bill that cut out Medicaid, $900 billion worth of cuts to Medicaid. Stapled to that is the fact that these ACA tax credit expansions are dropping. So depending on which independent group you look at, the average person who is currently taking advantage of those expanded tax credits, which, as you said, is some 20 million people or so nationwide, we'll see their premiums go up by 70 to 115% or so. So think of it essentially as a doubling of your insurance rates. For some people, that will be financially painful, but they'll still have health insurance. For other people, that'll just be too much to bear, which means you'll see less people insured. And generally speaking, if you have fewer people insured, that means people put off health care until it's acute and urgent, and now they're in the emergency room, and now all of us have less access to affordable care because instead of getting relatively cheap preventative care, we're getting very expensive acute care. So everything that that lowers the number of people who have health insurance raises the cost for all of us and puts a greater burden on our health care system. And nothing I'm saying is particularly surprising. We've known this for a long time.
Yeah.
The idea that somehow our health care system would work better if it was only available to the richest among us, I don't know any serious person who believes that to be true, but that seems to be the agenda that's animating the majority in the House and Senate right now.
Okay, so town hall tonight, everyone can dial in, correct, about 6:30. Do they go to connectingtocongress.org? Is that the best place? I've got that pulled up right now.
So I don't have the phone number memorized, but if you go to our website, caston.house.gov, you'll see all the information about it. You can also go to caston.house.gov/live at 6 o'clock, and then you can listen in on your favorite internet browser and type some questions in there. So we're looking forward to it, and just try to do our best to explain to people what's going on. And and I always feel like just try to appeal to people's better angels in this time.
Would you ever do a live in person town hall anymore?
I've done a whole lot of live in-person town halls. I love doing them.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't making an accusation, but just given where we are and what's been happening, I just wondered.
Yeah.
If it's
I mean, in recent years, we've had to have larger and larger police presences at our town halls, and I've never personally felt unsafe. But you do get to a point where you start thinking if I'm pulling police off another job where they could be protecting the public safety, is that respectful of our law enforcement? Does it do the best things for our community? And so, we're going to be situational and opportunistic about it. But this is sort of what I was saying. I think it's all of us, if we can bring the temperature down and get to a point where we can all acknowledge that we're all Americans, we all may have slightly different opinions on how the best way is to get to various goals that we share. But let's focus on the goals that we share. And I think if we can get back to that, it's better for all of us. And I think that's what we're trying to get done.
Thank you so much for joining us, Congressman.
Thank you.
Representative Sean Caston from the 6th District.